You are listening to Feeding the Mouth That Bites You with Ashley Parrish and Jessica Pfeiffer,
a weekly podcast guide on parenting teens and launching them into the world. As always, we are joined by psychologist and author, Dr. Ken Wilgus.
Hey, everyone, and welcome back. On today's episode, we will be discussing body image and eating disorders in teenagers.
Ashley, you know, today's culture and our focus on perfection in our bodies makes eating and health and exercise hard to know what is healthy and appropriate. It's confusing. What we see out there is probably not all healthy, and we believe the lie sometimes. So, Dr. Ken, could you talk with us about our teenagers and maybe just kind of give us a list of the eating disorders that you see most commonly in your practice?
Yeah, you know, it comes up in my office, as you would guess, a lot. I spend a lot of time talking to teenagers. And so the issue of comfort, your body size and eating comes up rather a lot. Enough that, and I think I should make sure I'm real clear about this, treatment of an eating disorder, I consider a specialty, and it is not my specialty. So I do, it's the same thing with drugs and substances. That's a specialty that if it's part of what a kid I'm working with is dealing with, then sure. But if it's the primary, then it really needs to be taken on by its own treatment, specialized treatment. But usually when you get to, when you're talking about eating disorders, people usually know you're talking about anorexia, which is restrictive intake of calories and so forth, specifically to try to maintain an unrealistically small body size. Bulimia, which is similar in trying to maintain weight, but it involves restriction and purging, binging and purging. Then there's, and some people I think know this, there's binge eating disorder, which is really using food almost as a kind of emotional drug that you just amass these huge quantities of sweets and so forth, but you don't purge that. So there's obviously real problems with gaining weight and so forth. And then some of them that we don't talk about as much and is probably worthwhile to differentiate from what most parents are concerned about. You know, you have that little kid that just won't eat anything but chicken or refuses anything. Some of that can even rise to the point of what we call avoidant restrictive food intake. But I think the thing I want to emphasize, this isn't a thing to watch for in your kid for the trigger of, wait a minute, do we have a disorder or not? There's great suffering and struggle about body size and how do I relate to food long before you sort of diagnose a disorder. You know what I mean?
Well, I think body image is a concern for most teenage girls. I'm sure teenage boys, you know, struggle with it on occasion too, but I would assume that it would be mostly girls.
That's really true. And it's, you know, we're at a stage in our culture where we're really big on making sure that we don't over focus on one particular sex over the other, which is fine. But I think in doing so, it helps to remember that, yes, I've had several male patients that struggle significantly with an eating disorder. But I don't want us to miss the fact that I've had multiple times more girls that struggle on some level with food and their body image.
So what are some signs and symptoms as a parent that I should be noting when I'm seeing that trajectory kind of slant toward a disorder or some sort of an obsession with food or with exercise, with maybe laxatives or diuretics, things that might be concerning that I'm finding? What should I be looking for?
Well, you know, the first sort of general thing that most parents are actually thinking about is their usually daughter's sense of their body image. And there's just so much struggle, again, far before necessarily some full-blown eating disorder, of girls that are so, their relationship to their body is, shall we say, not going well. It's complicated, to say the least. And so many parents are stuck with, how do I respond to that? Or even worse, have we contributed to that? My daughter feels terrible about her body or how she looks. And I think it's important to think about that. Again, I wouldn't wait for some trigger of, well, does that mean eating disorder? I think that it's a general rule of kind of how do we help, especially our daughters, respond to how they feel about their body. And as we've said, even in other podcasts here, social media has made this, has just blown this up out of proportion. So for when you hear your kid saying things about herself, when you you know, she refuses to go shopping. I don't want to even look in the mirror. Those are all clear signs of an extreme amount of shame about her body. And I think that's really more, you know, again, parents need to know, what do I do with all this stuff? When she tells me this, even if she doesn't, I know she's weeping about it. What am I supposed to do?
Yeah. So then how do we handle that, Dr. Ken, when we hear our teenage daughter say things like, this part of my body is too big, or this part of my body is too skinny? Because it's not necessarily girls that think that they're bigger. Some girls are very, very thin. And so they're just as upset as the girls who think that they're too heavy.
Yeah, that's right. And a lot of parents don't recognize it. A lot of kids don't recognize that. Like, you know, I see a lot of teenage boys and girls. I see a lot of boys and girls that are very attractive boys and girls, and some that are not as attractive. I see almost no teenagers that really like how they look. It doesn't matter if you are attractive to others or not. The way we judge ourselves, and we've talked about this before, a Christian view understands shame from a very basic perspective. So I think number one, the way you respond to that is to be realistic that the fact that your teenager is ashamed to some degree of their appearance is not a disorder and something to flip out about. All of us go through that. But number two, you know, we want to respond to that. So I think it's important to help them to see themselves realistically, to recognize listen to them first about kind of how they, what they really are upset about. But, you know, you can help kind of them have their own relationship better with their body. And that doesn't mean some firm, constant talking so that they, you're trying to change their thoughts. Like I keep, no, you're beautiful, you're unique. You're waiting one day for this teenage daughter to just go, you're right, Mom. That just isn't what we're aiming for. So you really don't, you want to not be afraid to listen. There's obviously some important things to not do. If your daughter has struggles with her own body image, it's obviously important to think about, well, what is her mother's relationship to her own body? So a mother that is consistently fearful, constantly talking about whether she's attractive, whether she's thin enough, all that stuff, obviously that will translate to your kids, and you really need to deal with that yourself. And if there's anything worse, it's a dad. Again, girls are trying to understand, how am I perceived in the world of men? It's a father that makes, and I mean, I don't care if he's trying to be funny, making any comments or jokes about his teenage daughter's body size is just outrageous. And it's harmful. And many men don't recognize just how serious that issue is and how important it is that you don't add to that shame. But again, I think the goal isn't so that you'll take it away and they'll feel all good about themselves. That's not really realistic. So I think you respond to it by listening, really trying to think about and hear them with what they really are concerned about. Don't contribute to it, but then look at the ways that you might be able to give them wisdom. Certainly for Christian parents, you know, I don't know how often, no one ever told me, because I spent my entire adolescence, as you can imagine, too short. And no one ever said, yeah, you know, God can hear you. I mean, he made you this way. I'm not sure if he's liking your critique of his work here. So I wouldn't overdo that, but it is important to open up, especially for Christian households, that ours is not a positive self-esteem household. We actually believe in the presence of this other being that created all, and your relationship to that being can help a great deal in your shame or relationship to yourself. So you don't expect perfection. It's okay that they struggle some. You try to listen. You be encouraging. Don't add to it. And you know, that's sort of your main introduction to what you do when they're struggling with just the general body image issues.
What is a parent's first step when they do suspect an eating disorder? Dr. Ken, what should we do?
Yeah, if it gets serious, you know, it's funny, like bulimia, for example, which is binging and purging. A lot of people don't realize that often the first professional to recognize it is a dentist. A dentist can tell that when you do a lot of intentional vomiting, it's going to work away the enamel on your teeth. So symptoms like that, if that comes out, that's pretty significant. If you have real reason to believe that this teenager is absolutely restricting intake or purging and those kind of things. And in those cases, I think it's important to know that, number one, you do not enter into a control battle. Now, our parents obviously are professionals. They would never do that because they're feeding the mouth people. And they know that the first thing to let your teenager know is, I can't make sure you eat right. You're too old, and that's why I'm so worried for you. That's why I'm very concerned, because you have to decide these things for yourself. Can you tell me what this is, because it looks like you're purging, or I've seen you skip these meals, the things I'm seeing, can you please talk to me about it? A control battle is very often the center part of a full-blown anorexic episode. It is actually a way, it's not just control versus parents, but when your life is out of control, one of the psychological effects is the feeling of, well, I can at least control my body. And that's a kind of a comforting thing while you're depleting your body of what it really needs. So you do not want to add to that by making it sound like the thing I want to talk about is how upset I am as your parent about how you're doing. That's going to go nowhere. And then after that, you try to listen, try to gain some communication. And there may come a point, and I wouldn't just jump straight to it, but I mean, if you have symptoms of purging, that's definitely serious. Mm-hmm. If you have hidden high sugar foods that are regular binging, and if you have real restrictive eating that really starts to get to a weight that is lower than should be. I've had parents that respond to what looks like what they fear is anorexia to kids that are actually about 5 or 10 pounds over the weight they should be. So it's not something that is emergency difficult, but if your kid is actually getting significantly less intake than they need, then definitely your worry might require you to, I'm sorry, but I'm taking you to the doctor and we're going to talk about it. And I know that makes you mad, and I'm so sorry because you're too old to me to be telling you what to do, but I'm seeing something that I think is scary, and wow, remember your doctor said. So, you know, keep it kind of going like that, and then trying to encourage as need be. There's a point, obviously, where if it seems to be affecting health in any manner, then, you know, in those cases, sorry, I know you don't want to, you don't get a choice here. You have to go see a therapist, a psychologist. In that case, you really start the process of both therapeutically understanding what's underneath this, but also an important part of treatment for eating disorders is education, because a lot of young people do not know really what they're doing to their body.
So let me ask you a question that has to do with controlling. If you have a child that is, let's say, anorexic, there's often a lot of hidden secret lies, things that are being covered so that they don't get found out. For example, they say, oh, I ate at my friend's house before I came home, or, oh, I already had dinner, you know, that sort of thing. So when you start to discover those lies, it's hard to believe that they're telling the truth. You become suspicious. Do you find that when you say, hey, this is your body, and you're going to have to figure out how to control this on your own, I can't make you, and I know that I can't make you do what I want you to do, do you find that the teens are more likely to open up and be honest, or do you feel like they're still trying to hide these issues from their parents?
That's a great question. I think the answer is they still mostly hide. You know, once you're getting into some significant patterns in anorexia, for example, then there's a lot of shame going on. This isn't just about this person's parents. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, obviously that's a good example of another of many examples where don't make a big deal out of the lying. Mm-hmm. I can't believe you lied to me. That is the least of our concerns here. It's not surprising that she or he would lie to you. But the answer to the deception, then, you don't want to get drawn into, because I can't trust you, then I'm going to try to exert these limits or controls on your eating. That is a losing battle. Mm-hmm. So you are, instead of being a policeman, which you can't, in this case, you're not really even a judge. You're a parent that loves her and wants best for her, and I will not put a cork in my mouth with what I am seeing. And I'm sorry we talked about this just 3 days ago, sweetheart, but you told me again that you didn't eat here, but I got to be honest, I don't believe you. And I am worried for you. Mom, I'm fine. I know you say that, and I'm trying to get with you on it, but I'm not going to lie to you. You're worrying me. You know, and just keep pressing like that so that at the very least, for any teenager, you want to go on record as, I'm trying to leave you alone about this. I know it's annoying. I can't believe I'm talking to you about what you eat, and I get that. But here's why I am not letting this go.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's good to know. So what about our own issues as parents? How can we model healthy attitudes for our own kids? And when do we need help too? Sometimes it's not until you have a kid that's dealing with something that you think, oh, I'm sort of that way too, aren't I?
Yeah, I think that, you know, like we've said in the Parents, Ghost of Parents Past podcast that we did a while back, I think there are certain times that you need to think about what bad effect you may be having. But again, I don't think you should overdo that. Again, if your teenager is struggling with this, it doesn't mean theory one, look what I did. That is not true. But secondly, yeah, I think it's often, especially if you're a spiritual person, this is part of God's journey that we're on, which is it may show something to ourselves, maybe your own, especially in the world of women, which this is so much more of an issue, that it may actually be eye-opening that, you know, I never thought about it before, but I do shame myself about my size and how I look. And that is showing me something more than I knew. And I think that's important to take on and then maybe even be open with your teenager about it. Mm-hmm. But as for the role that you play in terms of what modeling can I do to make sure that this teenager stops doing this, you're overplaying your hand. It's not about you. You need to be as accurate in your feedback, but not find the way to just get them to cut it out. That's not the goal here. It's also important to know that when your teenager is struggling with eating, you know, there are some types of eating struggles that really don't have an issue of body dysmorphia, or even a real problem with your body. For example, I have a lot of kids that are very anxious kids, or even sensory integration kids that just, they're really touchy about their about what they have in their mouth, or they just have so much anxiety that it affects their GI system. And those kids will lose weight and not be able to keep on weight, but they don't have a set problem with how they look. It's just they can't get interested in food or even keep food down because of these other issues with anxiety and so forth. So it's important in those cases not to misunderstand that there can definitely be problems with a teenager's food, relationship to food, that does not mean they must feel bad about themselves and how they look. There's other types of that. So again, as a parent, you want to be careful that you don't become a hammer and everything's a nail.
What about all of us moms that, you know, are constantly tucking and filling and putting, what does that tell our teen girls?
Well, that's exactly right. But you have to start by asking yourself, why am I doing that? What is my reasoning for that? And again, I wouldn't shame yourself for the fact that it's because you don't like how you look. Literally, you know, if you're in the audience right now, raise your hand if you like everything about how you look right now. It is based in a fundamental disjointedness between our relationship with ourselves. You know, the man and the woman sinned, they covered themselves with fig leaf. What a weird, so it's a fundamental part of who we are. But I think you have to kind of really think about it.
Well, I want to age gracefully. I want to show my girls how to as well. And my, you know, all my time and efforts should not be spent in keeping myself to look youthful. Like, I'm not aging. I am aging, and there's something beautiful about that. And I'm grateful that I'm able to age. You know, I'm grateful for this, you know, another trip around the sun and these laugh lines and these, you know, wrinkles around my eyes. And I think it's important as moms of teenage girls, especially, that we're very mindful about what we're doing to our own bodies, because even though we may not sit down and have a conversation with our teen daughters, they see what we're doing. They know what we're doing. They know what we've done to our bodies. And, you know, I had a conversation with my daughter recently about my body, and you know, I've had two sets of twins. And so I had a tiny little umbilical hernia. And we talked about it. And she was like, well, are you ever going to get that done? And I said, you know, it was the strangest thing. I went to a doctor to have a consultation about it. And she wanted to do a tummy tuck and a whole mommy makeover and a breast augmentation. And I was like, I don't want all of that.
Because so, that's the key to happiness right there.
Yeah. Yeah. But she was just going to fix me right up. And I appreciate it. But yeah, I don't want those things fixed. You know, I that's the way they are. And
you know, but I think it's something to be
conversation with, you know, my oldest that we were able to talk about that. And
well, I think it's something to first be honest with yourself. Like, it's easy for me to look at women and think, you guys make such a big deal out of this. Well, I'm not a woman. I've talked to 1,000 women and, you know, nobody looks at me. I can remember for a long time being the guy that I don't care about how what I wear. Well, then I started getting into running and I lost a lot of weight. And dude, I was like all about this outfit and that. It's like, wait, I wasn't actually Mr. Humble about how I look. I just didn't want to look at my fat self. And then my vanity grew a great deal, but nothing compared to women. And even the difference between kind of what you're used to for a lot of people, and especially women, an attractive appearance is just part of who they are. You don't want to be that. So what I find is you will discover more and more about your relationship to how you appear to others as you go on through life. Don't be stunned if you at in your 40s then really struggle in your 60s with, I know I don't believe in this, but, you know, just a little surgery wouldn't be that bad. I've just known many, many women that it's something you have to have an ongoing conversation with your maker to deal with that, and definitely not expect that I'm just going to put that whole vanity and shame thing away. No, you won't. I don't think any of us do. It's a process of it being kind of whittled away.
I want to make note, too, of just something that I see happening where, you know, you have a healthy mom who has worked out and exercises, but then maybe gets on different diet kicks or diet restrictions or the next new big thing. And I think that in some ways she is trying to be healthy and do some self-improvement, but that can come off to her daughter as looking like something different. It can be an obsession. And I think that even healthy women who do a fair amount of exercise and who do these diet drinks or whatever the new fad is can get swept away in some of this obsession with their bodies and making it perfect. And honestly, we're all trying to regain what we might have had when we were our teenagers.
or maybe things we never had. But
or maybe things the point we never is, had. But you look at them and think, true. you have it all, girl. You should enjoy it while it lasts.
But isn't it funny how if you know, this you would take you 10 years ago is, but the 10 years ago you didn't like you then.
I wasn't happy then either.
But I do think you hit on one important thing that is also important is that education. You know, a big part of treatment for a real eating disorder and therefore something that kind of helps to avoid it is learning about what is healthy. And I do get tired of people, including myself, claiming that I'm doing something for my health, but actually I'm really trying to lose weight. But the truth is that learning to be a good steward of your body is really an important thing to teach your kids. You know, one thing that girls that are restricting their intake, anorexic girls, almost never know is that calorie intake is going to guarantee that you will struggle with being fat your whole life. It is the opposite of a good way to do it. And for many girls, simply learning that if you want to look like this, lean or whatever, this is actually how you do it. You don't do it this way. Again, when it's really a kind of a self-punishing and a control battle, it's not going to make a huge difference. But for girls particularly and kids that struggle with that relationship to food and my size, education is very important. And I think what you're saying is right. Being healthy, learning how to be healthy, having healthy food in your house is very important. And let me just mention, but with teenagers, always remember that doesn't mean you're not going to, quote, let them come in your house with their Snickers bar they bought with their own money. That's going to get into a silly control battle, you know, but being healthy and educating about that is a lifelong process. I think that's good.
So how do we talk to our older children or our young teens to encourage them in healthy ways? I know particularly with my generation of moms, you know, it was kind of at the beginning of us really trying to feed our kids all the right things and organic foods until they're of a teenage years where they can make their own decisions, where we've controlled every piece of candy that went into their mouths. You know, we've kept them away from the grandparents for as long as possible so they don't feed them the sodas and the candy. But how do we talk to our older children and young teens to just encourage them to be healthy and have a healthy mindset? What do we do to kind of lay the groundwork for them in their teen years?
Well, I think number one, with your younger children, you just do what you're doing. You provide good food and they kind of learn good habits. But then by older children before adolescence, it's a good idea to start talking about teenage years that are coming. One thing that girls always have to be reminded of is that your body is going to need to hang on to at least 10 pounds or so to finish puberty. It is inappropriate for you to be very skinny while you're adolescent. Your body will not have the calories that it needs to finish the project of puberty. So in my house, we always, you know, I said it semi-serious, you're not allowed to diet as a teenager. Mm-hmm. There's no dieting. You can eat healthy, but, you know, and it was a joke. I mean, I didn't do that like an actual rule because can you make sure that doesn't happen?
Nope.
No, you can't make sure that. But talking to a pre-teenager about what your body is probably going to begin to do or is going to begin to do and that you're going to need extra weight for that is certainly helpful. Another thing I think is to go ahead and talk about that, you know, there's when your body starts changing, you're going to feel probably unhappy with your body. Like that just happens. And that's something that you need to kind of prepare for and expect what you're going to do about it. And then lastly, as we've mentioned, I think you really have to talk to older children and definitely young teenagers about what are you going to do about your relationship to social media? Because we've not had anything that has exploded the problem of body image, like the fact that our poor girl, you ever see pictures in the 19th century, 1800s photos? Mm-hmm. People have no good sense of selfie face. They're not even smiling. They just, you know, because they've never seen themselves and maybe twice, but our poor kids are seeing themselves 100 times a day and taking the picture themselves. So it's not even just that difficult relationship they have with their own body. It's the relationship they have with the photographic image of their body on that dadgum phone. Mm-hmm. And that makes it far worse. So it's definitely important to start talking about that. Again, don't first make a rule. You can only do one selfie a week. That's a losing battle. You start immediately with, you know, it's fun now, but when you're 14, you're probably not going to like what you see about something when you're taking a photo. And what do you think about that? And try to help him, usually it's her, with that issue of basically presenting these pictures of me and thinking that because somebody reached over and touched a part of the screen that made a like button somehow makes that a better image or important. And it's ridiculous.
Well, this has been an interesting topic, and I know that it's far more detailed than we've gotten into. I know that teens, this is a huge part of their lives, this image of their body and the image of their self that they have in their mind. And I appreciate the two of you discussing some of the details of teens and body image and eating disorders with me today. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us today. Hit the subscribe button so you won't miss an episode. Also, leave us a review. This is how other listeners find our podcast. Follow us on Instagram at Feeding the Mouth.
We appreciate you and would love to hear from you. If you have any questions, thoughts, or ideas about what we've discussed today, please email us at podcast@feedingthemouth.com.